Awesome.
That's pretty exciting.
Have you found a ride, Riley?
No, I have not. It's the same story every week.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing out there in Winchester, huh?
Yeah.
Attending from the New Hampshire Independence Pack, and Carla Garrick was attending from the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence. I was there, and Matt Santanastasso was there as well. So Matt has reported that he was a little on the fence. So after previously telling us that he was going to do it, file the bill, his conversations with some, you know, cowardly state reps had, you know, influenced him. And, you know, we know that Matt is the most principled liberty candidate out there, but the reality is the people you associate with are gonna, you know, change how you feel about things. And so he's spending a lot of time around those state reps, and, you know, he hasn't been hanging out with us a lot. So, you know, they've been bending his ear. And I told Matt before the meeting, I was like, well, let's just wait, you know, just hang off and let's talk to Yvonne and see what she has to say, you know, before you make a decision on this. And I think that we've been able to persuade him that that he should go ahead and file this, even if he's concerned about what the state reps will think. Basically, he was worried that the state reps, that there are a certain group of state reps who say that they would vote for it, but indicated that they didn't want to have to vote for it. It's a very strange position, because they're, I guess, worried about getting reelected. So once again, the reelection canard has reared its ugly head. And so that was what was kind of pushing him in the negative. We reminded her, Yvonne, you know, pointed out this is going to be different, you know, this time. And the state reps who are currently against supporting it, like whether they want to be sponsors or not, but they're those who are too scared or whatever, they may change their minds. You know, there's a possibility that once this bill gets put in, and if Yvonne is successful at ramping up media attention, then there's a good chance that these state reps will feel as though this is worth supporting this time around. So I think it was just, I think it's a little premature to be making conclusions about what people are going to be saying in 6 months or whatever, when the actual opportunity to vote on this thing at the state house comes forward. So I think we were able to persuade Matt, but you know, even if it's only two sponsors, even if it's only him and Glenn Bailey, because he said Glenn's on board, but you know, the rest of them are kind of hemming and hawing about it, apparently, which is sad, but you know, that's politics. So I think it is going to move forward, and if there's, you know, if you guys want to reach out and encourage state reps that, you know, should otherwise support this thing, then obviously that wouldn't hurt. But encourage Matt or thank him and thank Glenn or whatever for being willing to put this thing forward. Obviously, the filing period begins this coming week, if I recall correctly. So I think it's a 2-week filing period. So what they're going to do next is there's a meeting scheduled for 5 p.m. tomorrow, so Monday afternoon. And the idea was, well, you know, let's get some of these on-the-fence reps that Matt has identified. I mean, he didn't name them by name, but he knows who they are. And let's invite them to meet with Yvonne so she can talk to them about, you know, how this is going to be different this time around. That, you know, last time we were just shooting from the hip. We had no idea what was going to happen, had no idea how many people were going to support it, and had no support from PR professionals. This time we do have a PR professional on our side, and it's an election, national election year, so it's a completely different, you know, sort of political situation that we can take advantage of. So that's my report. That's what's coming up this week. So hopefully meeting with Yvonne will take some of these state reps from the other side of the fence and at least move them back to the fence or move them on our side of it. And regardless of what they decide to do, I think Matt is going to move forward. But again, if you guys have ways to reach out to him directly and encourage him and thank him in advance for filing this, that's important. Further, the other thing to mention is that there was some talk about a suite of bills. So not just the CACR, but also the idea of a study committee came up again. And Matt feels like he would be more able to get support for a study committee bill than the CACR again. And also the idea of putting a non-binding resolution on the ballot came up. So potentially three bills, and the idea was to potentially brainstorm others. And of course, expanding from one bill to two or three would definitely frustrate the, you know, the anti-freedom contingent out there. So that's my summary. Thoughts welcome. Thanks for listening.
Oh, this is Ridley. I have something also. It's a lot more minor than your update, Ian, but I interviewed the former state rep, Chris Roberts, who said, you know, she's told me on the Ridley report that NH exit is never going to happen, but then he went on to rail against the federal government for about 3 minutes.
Oh, nice. Chris Roberts, former state rep, former city councilor, former school board member. I think he held all three offices at once. I mean, he's about as most of a political animal as you could possibly get.
I do have to say, I do like the study idea, the study committee, you know, especially if it has something to do with putting a plan together.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, it's going to get more people talking. It's
right.
Going to get more attention. It's going to, you know, be more synergy with the other bills, and it it's going to really piss off the people who hate this idea. I mean, they wanted this to die, and they wanted it to go away, and just bringing the CACR back would upset them, but bringing back bringing up two or three bills is really going to upset them. That's going to show the idea's got staying power, and it's expanding rather than dying. Now, of course, the big challenge is to try to beat 13 votes when everything comes down to it. But we got, 6 months to work on that.
Yeah, that might be the challenge part.
But I will say this, it does sound as though the people behind the organizations, Carla and Matt, seem to be enthusiastic now about this, whereas before even they had gone on the fence because of all the negativity from some of the state reps. I think bringing the PR support in has helped really kind of galvanize things, and people feel like there's something different, and that we have an advantage this time around, even though it seems like we've got a higher hill to climb because of the negativity from some of these state reps. This is a completely different situation than it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, having a PR person probably is a huge benefit, especially when it comes to convincing people to support it a second time around when it failed the first time. So.
I think the more support we can get on New Hampshire independence, the better, and the more we talk about it, the better it's going to be, because it's a new idea to a lot of people. I mean, they're more familiar with Texas or things like that, but when it comes to New Hampshire, we don't talk about that enough. I think it's a scary idea, and when we start talking about it as though we're normalizing it, then people don't have to be in fear, if that makes any sense.
Right, and that's exactly why we shouldn't take any time off from this. We should not accept no for an answer as far as filing or supporting this any of this legislation, because we don't want to have to wait two more years to start talking about this again. And the fact is, filing legislation guarantees that a conversation is going to happen. What level of the conversation will exist in the media is obviously up to them. Hopefully the PR person will help change that in our direction. But either way, it's going to start some conversations. It's going to get somebody talking on talk radio. It's going to get some media attention. And it's going to get talked about in the State House. We saw what resulted from that the first time around. We got the New Hampshire, the NBC Boston documentary. We got people moving here as part of the Free State Project. And, there's absolute results that have come from this. The New Hampshire IPAC was formed and founded because of just the last time this bill ran through. So what can be built on that, remains to be seen. Hey, Sam, what's happening, dude?
Well, it's good to be seeing progress happening on this.
Yeah, it's nice to get some excitement going, generated again.
Yeah, definitely we need to build up the excitement. Talking to people, definitely, more than just each other, right, is probably key. Trying to get the attention, though, of, the mainstream media in New Hampshire seems, how do I say this, a little bit difficult. They seem to like to listen to the opposition, but not so much us, so I don't know how we can change that, but maybe the PR person can help with that.
That's the thing. The opposition will do the work for us, even if we didn't have the PR person. Remember, last time it was Karen who filed her complaint with the Ballot Law Commission, and that's what stirred up the media.
Yeah.
You're right. We didn't get any media, hardly, on the bill itself. They ignored the bill. They ignored the discussion about the bill for the most part. But when Karen filed that ballot petition, lots of media reported on that because that was drama, and that did give Matt Santh and Anastasia the opportunity to speak, and he made some great points in those articles that the media was covering. And of course, we won that as well. So Like, and she said her next step was going to be filing a lawsuit at the federal court, which she obviously hasn't done yet. So who knows? Maybe she'll take her next step when this next legislation comes in.
I actually have to wonder, do we have a contact? Maybe we can poke her.
Oh, she's going to hear about it. I don't think you have to worry about that.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And, of course, any kind of controversy like that is going to be raw meat for the PR girl to spread out to the media in a way that we weren't able to do. So I think anything like that's going to get even bigger. Like, it may go to national coverage because she has those connections. So, you know, last time Karen was pretty much a local story, but it was a good local story. But maybe we're going to see, you know, Fox News and other organizations if there's any kind of repeat.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, I love the idea of the national coverage. Like, you know, I don't know what we can accomplish in New Hampshire specifically in the short term, especially, but nationally, it seems like we could potentially have a lot of benefits from that.
I guess what I have for an announcement is I've got my first podcast with Russell edited. I just need to fix the audio and then I can post it.
Oh, when is that coming out?
Cool. I don't have a date on that yet. I'm hoping to get it out this week.
Cool.
Are you guys able to have any guests on the podcast?
Yes, in fact, I'd like to have people like Carla Garrick and whoever else is either in favor or opposed to New Hampshire independence on. I'd like to have those kinds of discussions.
Ooh, that would be really great if you could find somebody who's opposed to it to get on.
Generally, the opposition is not interested in being on our products, but never hurts to ask. And I would, if I were you, I would ask Matt Santanastasso to see if he would be willing to, you know, come on and give a situation update.
All right, I will do that.
Like, we need to make sure he gets as much support as possible from our end of things because, you know, he's feeling lonely out there and that's obviously something that is, you know, not something he wants to experience.
All I'm thinking of is Jerry Springer with an opposition on the show. Actually, that could be something really funny to do if you could do some sort of fakery, even just to make some sort of Jerry Springer, like, I don't know, something. I could see that being very
entertaining. Well, that is an approach, is to actually control the opposition by bringing in like a fake counter-protester or whatever, and then have them just take the most extreme pro-nation state or pro-empire positions. And it should be somebody, if you're going to do it for real, like not as just a parody or whatever, it should be somebody who is not a known supporter. Not, you know, you can't have Alu Axelman do it or something like that. You'd have to have, you know, somebody who's a free stater but sort of undercover.
Somebody not well known, maybe somebody new to the community, something like that,
Right. And if they're convincing, they can actually make inroads into the opposition.
Yeah, I am.
But yeah, one thing to keep in mind is that, you know, something like this, for independence to move forward, it doesn't need support. It needs it just needs opposition, right? Like, at least in the early phases, the opposition is what creates the support.
Hmm.
And another thought, well, it's not another thought, but just another minor update. I have just uploaded yesterday, I uploaded the last three...
Oh, good.
To moving to meetings, you know, what else would people want to do?
There's probably something I should do on my end. I actually have to figure out how to, like, exactly what I need to change or delete or adjust.
It's called hard limiting. In Audacity, it's called limiting, and that is a tool where it's learning.
I don't know, it's you're breaking up, whoever's talking. Not seeming to get any better. Yeah.
So I was explaining hard limiting. It is a feature available on Audacity. It's called Limit, and on Audition, it's called hard limiting. And it's audio post-production that is something you can run to bring up lower-level audio. You cannot fix conference calls at the source because, by their nature, everyone has different levels on their mics. It's just the way it is. So the only best thing you can do there is do post-processing and use the hard limiting tool to try to even that out.
Gotcha.
But perhaps we need to ask Russell and Matt. I know Matt has said Mondays are good for him because when we put together the meeting that's happening Monday, he said he has Mondays off. I don't know if that works for Russell or if it works for anyone else. But that may be an option. And that would basically be a meeting to start the week instead of end the week.
Mondays are fine for me. This is Ridley.
Yeah, I mean, I could probably do it too. I feel like we've moved it before, and I'm not sure if it was really helped.
Doesn't seem like we're attracting many new people on Sunday, so
That's true.
maybe it's worth a shot. Riley, are Mondays any issue for you?
Yep, we lost you, Riley. You're muted. Unmute.
Sorry, Mondays
My
have no issues for me.
this is Ridley. My guess is that Monday nights would probably be better for Russell than Monday. Well, he wouldn't be able to make Monday afternoon or morning usually, I think, but he could make Monday nights.
Is he around right now? Could you go and ask him what a good time would be?
I don't know where he is right now.
Oh yeah, he's probably downtown. We'll probably see him in 50 minutes.
Hey Ridley,
Sorry?
Russell is actually here.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Normally they're downtown. Maybe it's because it was supposed to rain.
Yeah, I think they were concerned about the rain.
Well, does anybody want to ask him?
I guess Ridley and I can tag team, take on the assignment, and figure out how what works best for him.
You got audio problems again, Ian. Not a clue what you said, Ian. Well, I don't know if you guys have anything else to say, but if we cut this meeting here, I can probably pick you up, Riley.
I have nothing on my end.
Yeah, Ian.
All right. Well, see some of you shortly.
Okay, Ian. See ya. Bye, everybody.